Channel open. Welcome back to Weekly Trek, a proud member of the Tricorder Transmissions podcast network and presented in partnership with TrekCore.com. I am your host, Alex Perry.
What's today's date? The date.
Today's show was recorded on May 1st, 2021 and is current through Star Trek Discovery Season 3, so beware of spoilers. All right, let's get into the show.
Good day, Voyager, and welcome to A Briefing with Neelix. It's a catchy title, isn't it?
Weekly Trek is a 30-minute news show covering the biggest stories from the Star Trek franchise. We are in a new golden age of Star Trek. There are multiple television shows in production, possibly more on the way, and enough merchandise to fill the Bajoran wormhole. So stick with me, and I'll help you sort the real facts from a lot of the Dominion propaganda that you'll find online. But I can't do this alone, and my guest this week is returning guest and co-host of the Promenade Merchants podcast. It's Heather Kirby. Heather, welcome back to Weekly Trek.
Thank you so much for having me back, Alex. It feels like it's been a while. I think it's been almost a year.
I think it has been a while. I can't believe how quickly the time has gone.
Yeah, a year moves very fast or very slow, depending on what's going on nowadays.
Well, you know what they say, time flies when you're in the middle of a global pandemic, right?
Very true.
Well, Heather, you know the drill. I want to know something that's got you feeling good about Star Trek at the moment. What's got you moving at Warp 10?
So what's got me moving at Warp 10? Well, lately, since there's no new Star Trek on TV right now, I've been diving into some Star Trek music by some bands who are making songs dedicated to Star Trek. So I first dove in on my Star Trek music experience with Boldly Go, which is a Star Trek punk band. And then I started diving into the 5-year mission soundtracks. I've only listened to year one and year two. I don't have year three or four yet. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun just seeing the different ways that Star Trek inspires people and being able to listen to that on a regular basis. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's incredible the way that people find to express their fandom, right? There's obviously the lame version of it, which is what I'm doing right now, making a podcast.
Exactly.
And then there's the super cool version of it, which is making music out of it. And I think the work that Boldly Go Band does, a former guest on this show, Foz Rotten, is the lead singer in that band, and 5-Year Mission, who you can hear a lot of over on the Trek Geeks Network. It's fabulous stuff. And it's just a fun way of enjoying other people's expression of their fandom while listening to some good music, too, at the same time.
Exactly.
Well, the thing I'm feeling good about this week is I got a little delivery in the mail this week from Reed Pop Entertainment. Yes, I am excited enough about Star Trek Mission Chicago, which will take place April 8th to 10th next year, that's 2022, in Chicago, Illinois, the new official Star Trek convention that was announced at First Contact Day now almost a month ago, that I purchased the official convention t-shirt, about a year before the convention itself is supposed to take place. And it showed up this week, along with a second t-shirt. They've got a few t-shirts on sale. There's obviously the ones that are like, you know, Star Trek Mission Chicago, but there are a couple of First Contact ones. It's a really nice First Contact one. It's got the date of First Contact and stylized picture of the Phoenix and Zefram Cochrane. And I'm very much looking forward to wearing that as quickly as possible. But yeah, Star Trek Mission Chicago t-shirt. So I'm all ready to go for the official convention 12 months in advance. But I can't wait for the possibility of returning to doing something like that, given the last Star Trek convention I went to was Star Trek Las Vegas 2019, which was a long time ago now. And so, yeah, I wanted to get excited and feel like it was coming soon. And so I thought, screw it, I'm going to buy the t-shirt. And that's exactly what I did.
Now, you're not going to wear that t-shirt every day until the convention, are you?
That would be a little unhinged. No, probably just the 30 days before the convention.
Okay.
All right. Well, with that, let's turn to the week's top stories.
There's a war going on, and I'm a reporter.
Star Trek The Next Generation star LeVar Burton has been doing press rounds this week following a successful internet campaign to have the former Reading Rainbow host included as one of the guest hosts on this season of Jeopardy! And in an interview with former colleague on TNG Whoopi Goldberg for The View, LeVar stated unequivocally that he would not be appearing in season 2 of Picard. However, before your disappointment starts to mount, have a listen to exactly what LeVar said.
And are you going to be doing season 2 of Picard? I can say unequivocally that I am not doing season two of Picard.
Okay. Does that mean there's more to come at some point and I shouldn't be asking? Maybe.
Well, here's the thing. I believe it's reasonable, in fact, practical to assume that Picard still knows these people.
Yes.
There is friends.
Yes, he does.
I think we might see some more of his friends. At least I hope we do before this is all over.
All right.
Now, I don't know about you, but that sounded very much like I won't be in season two, but that's because I'm going to be in season three. Wink, wink, wink. And John Delancey, who is returning to play Q this season, may have spilled the beans that season three is closer than we think. In another cameo video, can't believe CBS haven't put a stop to them yet, again uncovered by TrekMovie.com, Delancey said he was filming six episodes and that they may be spread over seasons two and three because, quote, we are shooting season two and three all at the same time. Delancey's comments reinforce reporting from The Hollywood Reporter, which I've talked about a few times on this show, that the plan for Picard shooting has always been to film season two and three back to back. They first reported on that in January of 2020 when Picard was picked up for a second season. And when they asked Akiva Goldsman about it a few weeks ago, he did not say no, but he did say he couldn't comment. So when LeVar Burton says he's not going to be in season two, but it winkingly stands to reason that Picard will see all his friends again, you have to think that's said not from a place of, oh, maybe it will happen because the producers have said they expect most of the TNG cast to show up at some point, but instead because actual plans are in motion. Heather, how do you feel about the latest revelations about season two of Star Trek Picard?
Yeah, I'm definitely in the same boat with you. I think, well, first off, that the TNG cast is so close-knit that they're not just going to randomly speculate about stuff. Like, there's definitely some knowledge behind it. So I was really surprised, kind of like Whoopi was in that interview where he basically flat out said, no, I'm not in season two, because I think a lot of us expected him to show up in season two. But when he went on to talk about, like, these characters are all still friends and it's just logical to reason that Picard would run into them again. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a nod, a wink, and a nudge to the fact that he will show up in Star Trek Picard at some point, which would definitely mean season three and not season two.
That's sort of, to my mind too, that sort of feels right, because so far confirmed for season two, we have all of the existing characters and we have Whoopi Goldberg and we have John Delancey. And you sort of have to ask yourself, with only 10 episodes to play with, you have to ask yourself, at what point are there too many TNG stars appearing in this season when they've obviously got a story to tell and they've got all these other characters to service? Like, you know, season one had Riker and it had Troy, who appeared in one episode. It had Data, who appeared in a couple of episodes. It had another quick appearance from Riker and it had Hugh. And that felt like about as much as the season could sustain. So if you've got Q and you've got Guinan, who feel like the characters fit together very well, you know, where does Geordi fit into that? Unclear.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're then saying, okay, well, we're not looking at it as just looking at 10 episodes of Picard, but how all these characters fit into the next 20 episodes of Picard, becomes much easier to see how you would get LeVar and probably Gates, presumably, and, you know, hopefully Michael Dorn too, back at some point to kind of to round out the cast appearances, but also do it in a way where, you know, they're not all showing up all at once, but they're also not showing up all the time.
Exactly. And I mean, I think that's the balance that fans have to look at Star Trek Picard. Like, do you want a really compelling story, or do you just want fan service where Picard goes around and meets all of his friends again? Like, that's not the type of story that they want to tell, and that's not the type of story a fan ultimately wants to see. We want to see a compelling story. Yes, we would like to see Geordi. Yes, we would like to see Worf. Yes, we would like to see Crusher again. But ultimately, we want to see a compelling story that Picard and these new characters that we were introduced to go on.
And that if any of those characters show up, they have more to do than just wave at the camera, exactly. Right? Like, you know, there was a lot of talk about in Picard season one, the appearance of the Stargazer Doctor in episode, I can't remember if it was 2 or 3, Dr. Ben Ayoun, and lots of people saying, oh, well, why couldn't that have been Crusher? And it's like, did you really want Crusher to appear in one scene, in one episode, to just come in, deliver some plot-worthy news, and then exit for the remainder of the season? No, if these characters are coming back, you want them to have a serious and substantive role in the story, but there's only so many spots and spaces for that. And so you are going to want them to be spread out, because if you've got 10 returning stars appearing in one episode, none of them are going to have anything substantive to do, right? Nepenthe is sort of the perfect version of that, where you have this whole subplot set around these two returning characters, Riker and Troi. You really got to spend some time with them. You got to know the people that they are now and what had happened to them. And that's the kind of experience that I would like for the remainder of the characters. But it also can't be, well, one episode we're going to see Geordi, and then the next episode we're going to see Worf, and then the next episode after that we're going to see Guinan, because it's just too much in that case.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Well, in an appearance on the Pod Directive, the official Star Trek podcast, Hollywood superstar Michelle Yao spoke a little about her character's arc in season 3 of Star Trek Discovery and where the character of Georgiou might go from here. Speaking on her departure from Discovery and what comes next for the character, Yao said, "Carl has said to her, you have another journey to undertake, and so it's obvious you have more things to do. It's not going to be a smooth ride. It will be bumpy. It will be full of heartaches. It will be full of pain, but I think it's true. That is life." So I think there's so much more possibilities for Georgiou, and I know my executive producers and showrunners and writers have a lot more things in store for such an amazing character. Does that mean a Section 31 show? Honestly, that still seems pretty unclear. But it certainly sounds like Michelle Yao herself is not done with Georgiou, whether that's appearing in Discovery again, on one of the other shows, or in a Section 31 show. The actress certainly doesn't sound like she's ready to walk away from Star Trek. So I think that's a positive sign for Star Trek fans, because ultimately, if Michelle Yao wants to be in Star Trek, I am sure the producers will find a way to accommodate her. Heather, what do you think is going on with the Section 31 show?
Oh, man, that's a hot button topic for me right here.
It's the big question for everybody right at the moment.
You know, I'm someone who's in the minority on this, in that I was really looking forward to the Section 31 show, and I was really looking forward to seeing more of Michelle Yao in Star Trek. And so I feel like they just kind of pushed this show aside because of the fan clamoring for a Captain Pike show. And so Section 31 kind of got pushed aside for Strange New Worlds, and I don't like it. I don't like it. I hope they still go forward with it. I think the character, whether you love or hate the character, just having Michelle Yeoh be a part of our Star Trek universe is incredible, because she is such a wonderful talent, and I want to see more from her. So I hope that some way, somehow, they still find a way, whether it's through a show or returning on other shows, to still keep her and the character involved. And that's all I'm going to say for now, because that has to do a little bit with my prediction.
All right. Well, we will save that for the end. But yeah, I mean, as I say, I think Michelle Yao gets to choose when Michelle Yao is done with Star Trek, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be foolish for the producers, if she's interested in being on the show, any of the shows, for them not to find a role for her in one of these productions. And that could be a return appearance on Discovery. It could be an appearance on Picard. It could be an appearance on Strange New Worlds. We really don't know sort of what the options are they're considering. And I will say, you know, I was thinking when the investor presentation day and Alex Kurtzman made those comments about how, you know, they were at 5 shows and they probably weren't going to move ahead with another one until one of the existing shows moved off of the air. And so we were like, well, that means it's going to be ages before a Section 31 show shows up.
Yeah.
I'm actually starting to feel like maybe that's not the case, just because if Picard season 2 and 3 are filming back to back, and if they do decide only to do 3 seasons of the show, which we don't know for sure, they're only doing 3 seasons. So Patrick Stewart said when the show was announced that he had sort of been walked through 3 seasons of sort of story content. And so a lot of people took to mean that meant it was going to be a 3-season show, but let's assume it is going to be just a 3-season show. You know, it's moving out later this year from a production standpoint. The filming will be done for the entire show and it will be in post-production, which leaves us potentially with that open slot for you to start up Section 31 later this year to film next year to come out in, you know, something like late 2023. So you could theoretically see it get back on track. But yeah, it's certainly one of the biggest mysteries of modern Star Trek is, you know, announced with full fanfare, then went very quiet, and now sort of this in this sort of twilight zone if we're not really sure what's going on.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm just kind of salty about the whole thing. I am. I want more Georgiou instead of Captain Pike. But like I said, I know I'm in the minority on that. But yeah, I'm here for more Georgiou. Definitely.
Star Trek jewelry licensee Rock Love have added to their line of Star Trek products and are sure to excite cosplayers, jewelry collectors, and any fan of awesome Star Trek jewelry with their new releases. Supplementing Darge's necklace, which was featured in the premiere episode of Star Trek Picard, Rock Love have released 3 new jewelry pieces from the original series, The Next Generation, and Deep Space Nine. First up are Uhura's iconic earrings that appeared in promotional photos for Star Trek The Original Series. According to the company, these spiral earrings are handcrafted in sterling silver and painted in luminous yellow gold. The symmetrical coils hang from secure lever-back ear wires, just like those worn on screen by actress Nichelle Nichols. These retail for $135. Next, we have a recreation of a pair of earrings worn by Guinan, played by Whoopi Goldberg, in the Next Generation episode Suspicions from Season 6. According to Rocklove, the earrings are handcrafted, brass-plated in silver and yellow gold. These dangling earrings feature a dome stud and hammered disc with chime-like strands featuring nuggets of genuine turquoise that shift and sway. These also retail for $135. And make sure you go over to the show notes and check out the original article on Trek Court, actually see the earrings, because they are very cool, and I cannot do them justice just by describing them. And for Deep Space Nine fans, Rocklove have produced a replica of the iconic Bajoran earring worn by Major Kirin Arise on the series as played by Nana Visitor. Retailing for a more affordable $60, Rocklove says the earring is accurate to the earring worn on screen by Nana, who played Kirin Arise. Featuring a single hole piercing, the stud connects with a chain to an accompanying cuff and gently attaches higher up the earlobe. For more information, find out more about these releases, head to rocklove.com. Heather, do any of these earrings interest you? And are there any other Star Trek jewelry pieces that you'd like to see Rock Love make?
I don't. Yes, I'm a woman, but I don't actually wear earrings. But I think they're absolutely beautiful. I love the fact that they're taking the time to recreate pieces like that, because it's not just something that people will wear for cosplay. It's something that people will wear and it'll have a lot of meaning to them because, you know, it's something they saw one of their favorite characters wear on screen. So I think they're incredible. I heard some people when I first looked at the article and some people were sharing the article, they're like, oh, well, I wanted to buy some like just as a keepsake, but the price is really high. Honey, I'm going to tell you right now, as a woman, that's what jewelry costs, okay? The price is not that high. Because they are made with quality materials, sterling silver, plated in gold. The price point is actually really reasonable for that. So yeah, they're a good quality and I really like them. I especially like the Kira one. I might consider buying that one. As for other Star Trek jewelry, I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that. There's not really anything that jumps to my mind, except for since they did Kira's earring, I think it would be really cool if they did Ro Laren's as well.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah, that'd be a cool one to do as well. Yeah, I mean, I might get the Kira one myself, you know, not to wear, but just because, I don't know, when was the last time anybody made a Bajoran earring sort of replica? I mean, just from that perspective, if you're in the sort of prop replica collecting kind of world. I mean, that's a great piece. And as you say, you know, especially the Uhura and the Guinan pieces, they don't scream Star Trek at you. If you wore those out of the house, no one's going to come up to you and be like, you're wearing a Star Trek pair of earrings.
Exactly.
You and I are pretty intense Star Trek fans. And I don't know if we saw either of those two sets of earrings out in the wild that we would go, are you wearing Guinan's earrings from the season 6 episode of The Next Generation Suspicions? Because they look really familiar to me.
You know, that's a deep cut. I would think like somebody like Jim Morehouse would probably be able to point that out. But a regular person? No, not really.
Yeah, I mean, that is the deepest of deep cuts. But yeah, it's super cool. And I'm really glad that Rock Love is doing more. Same as when they did the Darge twin necklace for Picard season 1, which is a really nice replica of the piece of jewelry that appeared on screen. I'm really pleased that Rock Love is doing more of them. And since I asked you the question and made you come up with an answer, I'll come up with an answer for myself of what I would like to see them do. Mine's not in the earring world. It's in the brooch world, which is in Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. All of the Federation Council members had this Federation Council pin that they wore. It's quite ornate, sort of dangly piece.
Yeah.
And I would like to see them make that. That's what I would like to see them do next, because I think that's cool. And again, cool. Something that, you know, both men and women would be interested in purchasing too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Well, and lastly, this week, the Wizard Company have given us an update on their progress in building a working replica of the original series tricorder, supplementing the TOS communicator through which you can run calls from your phone using Bluetooth, and the TOS phaser, which served as a universal remote. The Wizard Company announced last year their plans to complete the original series landing party set with the tricorder. And what will the tricorder do, you ask? Well, that is the hot question that everybody wants to know the answer to. And while that's still being kept closely under wraps for now, the Wizard Company have provided significant new updates on the painstaking process they are undertaking to replicate the original tricorder design as created by Star Trek prop designer Hua Cheng, using one of the remaining few screen-used props and building real-world functionality into the design. Most excitingly, the company is planning to bring to life a feature that was only static on the original prop, which is a rack of removable data disks inside the tricorder housing. Heather, what do you think about this impressive effort to recreate the original TOS tricorder?
I think it's incredible. I mean, I was just reading the article when you sent it to me, and I had no idea the amount of work that they put into something like that just to get the detail right, as well as to add functionality to it. Makes it such an incredible piece for any sort of collector to have. And it's just, wow. It's like they want to add so much to it, which it probably didn't even do in the first place as a prop. It was just a box, and then they added the beeps and whirs ahead of time. And this is something that is going to be so unique and so true to the prop that inspired it, but also something much more. And I look forward to seeing what it looks like when it's done, because it looks like it's going to be a really, really cool piece.
Yeah, I have the communicator and it's very cool. I got it as a wedding gift. I have to admit, I never really quite figured out the Bluetooth functionality to it, but I did manage to get it. I mean, that's because I'm an idiot, not because there's something wrong with it. But it is a really impressive piece of work. I never got the opportunity to get the universal remote phaser, but I know that from people who are big TOS prop replica fans, that the Wand Company pieces have been the best things that have come to market in a number of years. And from the TrekCore article, you can, as you were saying, Heather, you can tell the amount of effort that went into creating this piece. And it's the same effort they used for the communicator and for the phaser. They say they want to complete the original series landing party set. I would quite like it if they then decided to go on and do other Star Trek prop replicas.
Oh,
but
yeah,
what an incredible achievement to have done, you know, those three, you know, just as... And especially given the difficulty in recreating those original series designs, given A, there aren't a lot of originals left, and certainly not a lot of originals that you can 100% say those were the props from the show, given how many fakes and forgeries there have been over the last 55 years of those original series props. But also just because while they are incredible, iconic designs, you know, they were also designed for a 1960s TV show, which had a fairly high budget for the time, but still fairly limited ability to create sort of very elaborate pieces. And so they are quite simple, functional props. And so to take something simple and functional and then turn it into a real world 21st century object is really, it's really something else. It's very special what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm not the hugest fan of TOS because of the time frame it was made. But yeah, to take something like that from the 60s and make it so true and so unique to what it was back then, but make it so much more. It's an incredible piece of work that they're doing. And I totally commend them for that. And it's going to be worth every penny for those who purchase it, definitely.
Agreed, for sure. All right. Well, we've talked about the facts. And now let's speculate on what's going to happen in the future of Star Trek.
You make some very good points, Captain. But it's still all speculation and theory.
So each week, I and my guest give you a wish or theory we're nurturing about any of the shows or the future of the franchise. So Heather, let's hear your theory or wish for this week.
All right. So when I was thinking about this, and I thought about all the other times I've been on the show and we've ended up talking in some sort of the news articles about Star Trek movies, which we didn't have any news about Star Trek movies. So
I know. I thought you might be. I thought you might enjoy that we weren't talking about movies this week.
Yeah, but I figured I would base my theory around Star Trek movies.
All right, let's do it.
So we know that they have a release date and they have a writer for the next Star Trek movie. So my theory is that it is not going to be a Kelvin Universe movie. I think it's going to be something set in the current time frame of the Star Trek shows that we have on TV right now. And considering that Discovery really launched with two big stars to help get them off the ground, two huge movie stars, Jason Isaacs and Michelle Yeoh, I think somehow that either one or both of those actors will play a role in this new movie.
Interesting. Yeah, a couple of people have mentioned to me thinking that, you know, maybe the Section 31 show could turn into the next Star Trek movie and that's the direction they'll go in, because Michelle Yeoh's, as you say, a big superstar and, you know, that could sort of port over to the big screen. But you're right about Jason Isaacs too. That's a very interesting one. Of course, we haven't heard any more rumblings. He was sighted in Toronto around the time that filming for Star Trek Strange New Worlds got off the ground and has been pretty circumspect about whether he had any plans or intentions of returning to the franchise other than being interested in doing so. So, you know, maybe that will ultimately come to nothing. But yeah, that would be really interesting. What kind of things do you think? I mean, I think I would love a Lorca, Giorgio face-off movie, but what would you like to see?
You know, I honestly don't know. Like I said, I think the two of them could potentially be involved in the movie. I have no idea if they're going to be like the sole story or they're just going to be one part of whatever the movie characters and cast will come to light. I would love to see more of the Prime Universe Lorca and the Prime Universe Giorgio, because I mean, if you follow the Discovery novels, we know the two of them have met and had a relationship before all this mirror universe craziness happened in season one of Discovery. So I would kind of love something like that, because they're both fantastic actors and I love seeing them play these more evil characters, but I like to see him play the good guy too.
Yeah, I mean, so far we just know nothing about this upcoming Star Trek movie. Hopefully we will start to learn some more details soon. I have to think that if June of 2023 is the release date right now, that April of 2022, aka the official Star Trek convention in Chicago, could be a good place for them to start rolling out some details about that movie, since it will almost certainly probably have to be filming by the time that the convention rolls around.
Oh yeah, it's going to have to start filming sometime in 2022 if they're going to release it in 23. So yeah, that would be a good time frame to get more details about that in April. So yeah, that would be exciting. But we'll just have to see. It's all theory. Just having a little fun with it. But yeah.
Yep, as always, total speculation. We're probably both wrong about both of these wishes and theories. And I have thousands of them behind, 103 of them behind me that probably didn't work out. But my theory this week is that we are in a crunch period to know whether Star Trek Prodigy will precede Star Trek Lower Decks as the first Star Trek show on air in 2021, or if Lower Decks itself will be the first Star Trek show on air in 2021 on August the 12th. So Jen Tift and I had a conversation about this on the episode we did on wrap up for First Contact Day. And I was saying, I think, you know, Lower Decks is going to come first, then Prodigy, then Discovery. But given there's not enough weeks in the year after April 12th for them all to run concurrently without Discovery starting on literally the second to last day of 2021, that there was going to be some overlap. And Jen very convincingly talked me into the idea that actually maybe Prodigy was going to come before Star Trek Lower Decks will. Well, we're sort of running out of runway for that to be the case if there's not going to be any overlap between two of the shows. So if Lower Decks begins August 12th, that means that Star Trek Prodigy will need to begin the week of May 31st. Well, it's now May 1st. So Lower Decks, the premiere date for Lower Decks was released only about 2 to 3 weeks, I think. Well, certainly 2 weeks was when we got the first trailer before the show was released. So we do have precedence for an animated show coming out very quickly after we get a lot more information about it. And I believe it was only 3 to 4 weeks from when the release date itself was announced. Well, we're now about a month out. It's a little longer because it's a long month, so it's more like 5 weeks away rather than 4 weeks away. But I think if they're going to be announcing that Prodigy is going to start before Lower Decks, it has to come in the next 2 weeks. The latest possible date it could come, and I think this is a little too late, but it's still seems like it's within the realm of the possible, given what it is Viacom CBS's Upfronts presentation, which is their sort of unveiling of the traditional annual TV networks, unveiling their fall shows and what's going on in the streaming services, even though the kind of fall network premieres have fallen away as being something that a lot of people care about. It still happens every year. And that was where we got our first teaser trailer for Star Trek Picard 2 years ago. That is scheduled for May the 19th. To Wednesday. So I think that's, if May 19th comes and goes and there is no Prodigy announcement, my very strong suspicion is that means August the 12th and Lower Decks will be our first Star Trek of the year. So keep your eyes peeled and watching your favorite Star Trek news outlet. I hope it's TrekCore.com, but whichever one you keep your eyes on, because maybe we're going to get some news in the next couple of weeks, but also maybe not, because we don't know for sure it's coming before Lower Decks. But it, you know, it makes sense to me why it would. And if it is, we're going to have to know about it soon. Heather, what do you think?
You know, I go back and forth on that, because I would really like, I love the idea of just new Star Trek, one right after another, right after another. But I think, especially with all the COVID delays and things like that, when it comes to producing at least the live action Star Trek, that I'm not certain that that's really going to happen this year. So I don't know. I don't really know. My gut was kind of telling me that Prodigy was going to come before Lower Decks, but I also don't think, as much as they're trying to say that they're going to get season 4 of Discovery out this year, they're not giving you a specific date for that. So it could show up on December the 31st and it technically still could start in this year, you know? But I also, they really haven't given a whole, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but they also haven't given a whole lot of information. They said it was going to premiere on Paramount Plus before it went to Nickelodeon.
Correct.
But how long, like, is it going to do its entire run on Paramount Plus and then go to Nickelodeon? Or is it going to premiere and then the next week it's going to premiere on Nickelodeon? Like, did they give any detail about that?
Unclear. The only indication we've gotten from Nickelodeon is, I guess, at some Nickelodeon presentation there's been in the last 6 months that somebody was present at, a TV entertainment journalist was present at and tweeted about. They mentioned something about Prodigy being slotted for August, which would make sense, you know, for running on Nickelodeon concurrently with Lower Decks on Paramount Plus, if Prodigy has by then run on Paramount Plus, since we know where that's going to be where it is first. But who knows if those comments came before or after the ultimate decision was made to move Prodigy off of Nickelodeon and onto Paramount Plus, where, you know, they're clearly trying to make some decisions about where to slot it in. So that was a very long way of saying we don't really know anything more.
Yeah, I mean, I think out of all the shows, like when it comes to Lower Decks and Discovery and Strange New Worlds and Picard, like they're not, none of them are ever going to run concurrently with another. But I think Prodigy is kind of the wild card.
Yeah.
So there's a possibility that they're going to slot this show in while Lower Decks is still on the air or while Discovery is on the air, because it's the kids show. So according to them, it's not the same demographic as the other ones. So I feel like as much as I would like new Star Trek, a new episode of Star Trek every week for the entire year, Prodigy is the one that could kind of be combined with other shows if they decide to go that direction. But it's just all kind of up in the air. I don't know. I go back and forth. I'm not quite sure when it's going to premiere at this point.
Do you have a theory or a wish for Discovery, Picard, Strange New Worlds, Lower Decks, or Prodigy that you'd like to share? Tweet them to me at Weekly Trek or email them to me at weeklytrek@thetricordertransmissions.com, and I might feature your theory in a future episode. Well, that's all the time we've got for this episode of Weekly Trek. Thank you so much to my guest, Heather Kirby, for joining me today. Heather, how can people contact you if they want to continue the conversation?
The easiest way to contact me would be on Twitter. You can find me at NerdyGal33, and you can also find my wonderful podcast, the Promenade Merchants Podcast, on Twitter at PromTrekPod.
And you can find this show on Twitter at Weekly Trek and me at Alexander T. Perry. And if you enjoy the show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast player of choice. And please check out some of the other great shows on the Tricorder Transmissions. And if you like our shows, please also consider becoming a Patreon of Tricorder, which you can find at patreon.com/thetricordertransmissions. And lastly, if you're looking for Star Trek news on the internet, I hope you will turn to trekcore.com. Well, thank you, Heather. Thank you to all of my listeners. And until next week, live long and prosper.